Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's a story from Tristan Dagasin.
I had the opportunity and extremely grateful for the fact that I ran at William T. Dwyer High School, which was located in Palm Beach Gardens. And I ran under Coach Roback, who was our cross-country and track and field coach there. Now, in my junior year, it was definitely one of my most exciting years for cross-country. And there was something that I wanted to introduce to the guys to make sure that, you know, we stood out and that we were different than a lot of these other teams. Because when you go to these organized events with other recreational teams or high school teams, you see that they have the name of their school, and on the back they have the number, which is pretty standard. So I introduced that, you know, a way for us to showcase our style, or our swag, as we called it back then, was to wear these, you know, different colorful socks. So our sock swag, and as I always still wear to this day, you know, whether it was Brady, our coach and our captain, wearing, you know, these bright neon socks that he had, or Mark wearing these pink ones that he had, we always made sure that we stood out. And to this day, I still have the pair that I wore for this race. So obviously, equipment's important. And personally, I was wearing these really cool, lightweight Nike shoes. They were called the Lunar Flies. And they were definitely, you know, different than what other people had, especially from how much they weighed and, you know, how bright and colorful they were. So whenever we were at the starting line, and especially for a race like this at the South County Regional, which was located in Lake Worth, the pressure was definitely on. So as we were at the finish or the starting line, we would look from left to right to examine, you know, who we would be catching up with, who would we set our pace with. And more specifically, I always looked out for Suncoast, which was one of our rival schools. And they had a blonde-haired kid on the team named William Samuelson, who I knew if I was staying with him or could see him throughout the race, I was in good position. So we double-checked that everything's good to go. And, of course, loaded and ready was the start gun. So once it went off, we were off to the races. And the first stretch is always a good time to pace yourself and understand where you're going to be for the rest of the race. So I actually was surprisingly very high up in the race and was feeling that everything was going well and this could be one of my best races. Well, unfortunately, a few seconds later, I looked down at my right shoe as I felt this clicking and clacking, and my right shoe had come untied. Regardless of the fact that it was triple tied and not double tied, it still came untied. So in moments like this, especially for athletes, a lot of people can either, you know, deal with the adversity and face it and try to find a solution, or crumble under the pressure and really complain in the circumstance. So I made sure to pull over to the side, and even though my left shoe wasn't untied and it was still intact, I took that one off as well. So I ripped off both shoes and continued down the trail in my nice silver neon socks that I had on that day. And I felt pretty free without having any shoes on. I was barefoot, and I had to keep in the back of my mind, I was conscious that I was disqualified at this point. When you take off any equipment, you're disqualified in the cross-country races, according to the rules and regulations. So I kept running, just trying to keep my good pace, and I got to the second mile mark, and I was shocked to see the clock they had there. I said, wow, I'm doing pretty well for myself. And I kept advancing through the crowd, through the people, and I would pass by Mark and Brady and whisper to them and be like, look, no shoes, no shoes, I'm just barefoot. And I would keep cruising on. And as anyone knows, when it's a 5K, which is 5 kilometers for a cross-country race, it's 3.1 miles. So you get to the 3 miles, and that 0.1 stretch is, you know, where you give it your all, you really empty out the gas tank and make sure to stride to the finish. So when I got to that 3 mile mark, I knew that I had to keep pushing. And, you know, my barefoot self, I took off. I made sure to really go as fast as I could and really pushed it to the finish line. Now, the big clock that they have set there at the finish, our coach Roback would always ensure that that was never the official time and that he would keep his own personal time, which is what he wanted us to look at instead of the big clock. So I crossed the finish line, gasping for air, finally out of breath. And my coach was running up to me wildly with his stopwatch and kept pointing at it and just waving it in the air. And he said my time, and it was my fastest time ever, 17 minutes and 45 seconds. And he said, how did you do it? How did you do it? And I looked down and pointed at my shoes, and Coach Roback started cracking up, and I was barefoot. And it became a big joke for a long time, and even at practices when I would have my shoes, the coach and this, you know, my teammates would jokingly say, "Tristan, you have your shoes? Are they tied?" And of course, yes, I did.
Tristan Dagesan with a story about running a barefoot race.
Practically barefoot, although technically he was wearing socks.
He could have just taken off one shoe and it would have been half the pain.
Well, I don't get the feeling there was much pain at all. I think he was feeling no pain. I think this was a happy guy.
Happy guy in happy socks.
And one of the nice things about this story is you would think that a competitive runner would be really upset that he got his best time, or at least his coach would be really upset that here he's got his best time, but that he was disqualified. And yet, they're taking this so well. They're just taking it as, well, these things happen. And you don't hear sports stories, particularly high school or college sports stories like this very often.
I suppose running barefoot makes you faster.
I guess maybe it does. I suppose a shoe might be heavy. I suppose you can get a better grab on the ground. I don't know. But certainly the combination of the kick out of it he was getting and the not having shoes did put him ahead. Who knows?
Did the socks make him faster?
We will never know.
Well, I enjoyed the way he described the race.
Yeah, he really made it come alive with all of his senses. He was gasping for air and out of breath, and he heard the clicking and clacking of his shoe as it was coming off. We really got that sense of what it must have felt like.
It almost makes cross country sound like fun.
It almost does, yeah. I felt like I won that race. I also thought it was terrific when he used such a cliche, but in the most apt way. Usually I wouldn't comment if somebody uses a cliche or draw attention to it. I would go on to what was really strong about the story.
What, because cliches are not good?
Because cliches are usually not good, because that shows that you're not using real original thought. But when he says it was off to the races, it was so funny. I had to laugh because, yes, he was off to the races. He was in the middle of a race.
Not the horse races.
Not the horse race. The thing about a cliche is that you don't have to think to use it, and your audience doesn't have to think to hear it. And it's tired. It's a tired way of saying something.
Well, that's a cliche, saying that a cliche is a cliche.
No, I think I'm the only one who's ever said that, Michael. And so what we like to hear is overturned cliches, or some way, you know, if it's a paraphrase of a cliche, or if somebody uses a cliche in a new way. And this cliche was used to mean what it actually meant. There was no other term that would have been more apt. So that was kind of fun.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have a South Florida story they would like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email, please, to cneile, C-N-E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archived stories at wlrn.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. My name is Michael Stock. Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.